Welcome in, 9 o'clock. Jam and Elton John, Cake, Nipsey Hussle.
Tired Franson, afternoon snooze.
Okay. This is how focused I've been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's snowing outside. It's snowing like hell outside.
It's bad.
Like, it's snowing. I didn't even notice it. But so focused on talking with Jackson Wilson and talking with Tanner Ridgway and
Joe White.
In honor of Joe White, the white stuff is coming down outside.
Yeah, it's a white January right now.
Yeah. All right, it is an Apache Friday. We celebrate the start of the weekend. Divisional NFL playoff football.
Playoffs.
So the follow-up to Grande Wildcard Weekend, we have a name for this now too. It's divisional weekend just seems so plain. So simple.
Deadly
divisional is not bad. That's pretty good. Sudden death divisional weekend.
There you go.
Okay, maybe that. I don't know. I don't know if that works or not.
We'll work it out.
Of the quarterbacks that will be on the field this weekend,
mm-hmm.
starting with tomorrow's first game, 2 o'clock here on the team, would you take, to get you to the Super Bowl this year and win it?
Right now.
Joe Burrow of Cincinnati. Ryan Tannehill of Tennessee.
Probably not.
Your second game tomorrow. Jimmy Garoppolo of the Niners, or Aaron Rodgers of the Packers, or Sunday's doubleheader starts at 12:30 on the team. Matthew Stafford, or Tom Brady, or in the final game of the weekend, Josh Allen of the Bills, or Patty Mahomes of the Chiefs. To get you there to win it, who would you take? I'm going Josh Allen. You're going Patrick Mahomes. We've had some of the other members of the pile going with Josh Allen. Going from Buffalo, Mark. What a homer, Buffalo Mark. Of course he's going to say Josh Allen. That is all. Nice to hear hockey might be establishing a foothold here. It's the greatest game on earth. Go Bills. I will be rooting for your Bills. I will be doing that. Guru Gary. Sending a nice picture of his grandson, Liam, playing for the River City, or for the Grand Junction Riverhawks over at River City. Jackson doing a great job at River City. Of course, we talked to Jackson Wilson, who heads up the hockey program there.
Yep.
Great interview. My 7-year-old grandson, Liam, plays there. Nice picture of Liam, all decked out. That's a good-looking logo they have for the Riverhawks. It's a really good logo. I did not know. Thank you, Stephen. I didn't know that Meatloaf died today.
74.
I didn't know that. So maybe next time out, Stephen's asking for some Meatloaf return cut.
I am working on it.
I don't want to speak ill of the dead.
But?
I was never a huge Meatloaf fan.
Yeah.
Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, I heard it so much. Bad out of Hell, pretty good album.
Yeah.
What was the one that he had that was like his big comeback song? Objects are closer than they appear in the rearview mirror. Something like that. Some really long title like that.
Objects in the rearview mirror?
Yeah, I think that's what it was called.
It's objects in the rearview mirror may appear and then it gets cut off at the end.
Yeah, that was a song along with, of course, Paradise by the Dashboard Lights. Which featured the late Yankee great Phil Rizzuto doing some play-by-play, which he did not know what he was doing that for. And then he heard the song, and he's like, oh, I can't believe I'm on that.
Signed up for this.
Because his daughter thought he was, all of a sudden, dad was really cool because he's doing play-by-play on this song.
Meatloaf song.
That he did not realize he was, what he was doing play-by-play of was the intimate encounter of the two individuals in the song. He did not realize that.
Yeah.
Because he thought he was just calling, doing some baseball play-by-play.
Oh, no.
No. But I appreciate the talent that Meatloaf had back in the day. God rest his soul. 77, you said, correct?
74.
74. Okay, thank you. So we've got one from Matt. I wouldn't say in the clutch you have to go with Mahomes, but as long as he's on the field, you almost have to go with Brady with his overall body of work. Like I said, anybody with Stafford would be probably third from the bottom, right? Because of the lack of playoff of success.
And look, he played for the Detroit Lions. All right, let's not kid ourselves.
Which screams
here.
Lack of success or lack of opportunity for success.
That carries with it the stench of just poor performance.
The burden of suckitude.
Yes. Not great.
So he probably, handicapping the field. Even though Garoppolo's got to a Super Bowl, though. But you just look at the skill set and you go, no. Compared to the other guys, no. Tannehill toward the bottom, probably Stafford. Because the thing that I just gave Garoppolo credit for, getting to a Super Bowl, he doesn't have that on his resume.
No.
But he's the more physically gifted quarterback.
I mean, they call him Stat Padford for a reason.
Forgot about that. That's good. Dylan, toss it between Brady and Mahomes, but I'm taking Mahomes. Can be more impactful on one single splash play. Titans are being overlooked. Hope the Avs aren't getting too hot at the wrong time. Colin, OMG, I hate to say this, but Mahomes is almost starting to hate the Chiefs more than I did. I'm starting to hate the Chiefs more than I hate the Raiders. Oh, and now listening from Rifle, not Phoenix. Wish I could still stream from there.
Nice.
Steve, please, no meatloaf.
So we have one member of the pile that says, yes, meatloaf, and another saying, no meatloaf. I'm kind of torn here,
we'll,
man.
We'll debate. We'll talk about it. We'll decide. Well, it'll be a surprise on the other side of the break.
Oh, boy.
The next break, whether or not it's meatloaf. Who has passed away this morning at the age of 74. Charlie says Roger's the best of the group. That's it. Boom. Mic drop. That's it. Nothing else needs to be said.
Here's the thing, though. And we're going to see what the results are come Sunday. He's 0-3 against the 49ers in the playoffs. And he's only won one NFC championship game. And he's gotten there a few times, which is great, but it's that sort of, I don't want to say inability, because it's not that he can't. It's that maybe the team around him has had their implosion. So maybe it's not all his fault that they can't get back to a Super Bowl and have not in the last few years. But, again, if we're talking right now, a quarterback that will get you to a Super Bowl, all but guaranteed, the Bradys, the Mahomes, and the Allens of this field, I'd lean more towards them.
Yeah, and that's understandable. The brand names you know and trust, as I like to say.
Yes.
That they've been there, done that. I find Josh Allen an intriguing, deadly combination of strong arm, accuracy's improved a ton.
Right.
Plays hurt, plays tough, son of a gun to bring down in the open field, tough guy when plays break down to deal with in the red zone. That he's a more likable, athletic Ben Roethlisberger in some ways because of his ability to take hits in the pocket, his strength, he's a better runner.
Yeah.
But has that strength to bounce off guys, extend plays, but he's a better athlete than Roethlisberger overall.
I'd compare him more, and I know that he was the guy I'm comparing him to was probably more known for his running ability and maybe a little bit less so for his passing, but he was still good. A Steve Young, right?
Yeah, Young's a fair comparison.
And again, I think Young was probably more known for his running, but
when I just see Allen standing tall in the pocket taking a hit from a guy, it reminds me of Roethlisberger.
Right.
That ability, because he's so strong, to hang in against the rush. But the Young comparison, I think that's a good one as well. So, coming up with the Niners game with the Packers, Jimmy Garoppolo, there were some questions about his shoulder situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the right shoulder has the right thumb injury. But had another full practice yesterday, set to start against the Packers. He's not been listed as questionable or anything like that.
And I mean, really, truly, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to throw Trey Lance in there.
Probably not.
You're not going to throw Trey Lance. Hey, Trey, we know that we took you third overall and we haven't really like used you at all this year. And Jimmy's been the starter. But like, could you go out there and go up against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in the divisional playoffs? And oh, yeah. By the way, if you don't, we're out. Thanks. Appreciate it.
And if you go out there and you play poorly, Niners fans will think we wasted a pick on you. No, but there's that overreaction thing, right?
No
that
pressure.
If he goes out there and plays badly, oh, see, why do we draft that guy?
But then you have the other overreaction of if for some reason he gets thrown in there, if, you know, I mean, let's face it. There is, with between the two injuries you just mentioned with Garoppolo, if Jimmy is like, hey, it's not there. The ball is not there. I can't throw it very well.
Yeah.
If Kyle Shanahan is forced to make the awkward and maybe inevitable choice of throwing Trey Lance into the wolves, so to speak, and he does well and gets them to the NFC Championship game, I mean, come on.
An intriguing decision to be made for Kyle Shanahan moving forward.
John Lynch will have quite an offseason. Yeah.
Well, Garoppolo hurt the shoulder in the second quarter against the Cowboys. He got hurt trying to protect the thumb that he had injured. And so, second half, he only completed 5 of 11, 39 yards, had that really bad pick, got Cowboys back into the game. Niners got the win. Tuesday, he was limited, full participant Wednesday and Thursday. So that's the good news for Garoppolo in terms of this weekend and being ready to go up against the Packers.
Right.
And I would think that if there's an issue relying on the short game, the flats, screen game, Deebo Samuel, Mitchell, Kittle, shallow crosses,
right,
it may have an impact on his ability to drive the ball down the field, Diuk or somebody like that. That may, but who knows, it may be the point where he really struggles throwing the football and Trey Lance gets that opportunity. I think if they can run the football, take the pressure, not require him to throw it more than 20, 25 times in a game.
Right.
Then I think that'd be the recipe Kyle Shanahan would love to see against the Packers. Now, as far as Nick Bosa was listed as questionable, but Kyle Shanahan telling the media that it's looking good for him to clear the concussion protocol in time to play. He was a full participant yesterday. So they expect him to be ready to go to try to get after Aaron Rodgers coming up in that matchup between Green Bay and San Francisco. All right, so of the quarterbacks that are playing this weekend, which one would be your guy to get you to the Super Bowl right now and win it? So text or call us, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Did see a text earlier from Jared about the Mesa situation, about the Mesa coaching situation. So is Mesa going to hire a coach or... Well, we had Robin Brown on, who's on the search committee.
Mm.
The plan is to have an announcement by the first of next month. Because this last Sunday was the final day for candidates to get their application in mm-hmm. on the website for the job. And now the process begins of 70-some applicants paring that down to eventually having the next head coach of the CMU football team announced by the 1st of February. So,
right.
So they are working on it. There is a process they're going through right now.
We're getting
now.
There.
And from what I've heard, some interesting names on the list. I'm held to confidentiality on it. I cannot disclose,
right.
But some interesting names that have popped up on the list. And I do get a sense that the feeling is trying to find somebody, and even Robin Brown alluded to some of these things, of finding somebody with ties to the Mesa football program or ties to the area.
Or at the very least, someone that's going to stick around for a little bit. You know?
Right. That there's, and I think the number one priority, this is just what I've heard and what I've been able to glean, that having some connection here to the university, to the Valley, it's not the overriding priority. Obviously, the ability to coach football, run a program, fundraise, those are things that are more valuable, obviously, than somebody having a connection here. But having that would be important. That would be that it's one of the things that will separate probably some candidates from others potentially moving forward in their coaching search. All right. We had this in our sports earlier this morning that Fruita Monument, the Hall of Fame committee, which full disclosure, I'm a member of it, and we recently voted on the class for this year's 2022 Fruita Monument Wildcat Hall of Fame, which is predominantly athletes and coaches, but also does include other teachers, other individuals that have had a connection to, had a successful career at Fruita Monument High School.
Mm.
Someone like Omer Bernheide, who was a longtime agriculture teacher at Fruita, was put into the Hall of Fame a few years ago. So it's predominantly athletes and coaches, but it also includes other figures, teachers, administrators that have been at Fruita and also Fruita Monument High School. Looks like we have a call before I talk more about the Wildcats.
Yes.
Hall of Fame. Who do we have here?
We have Dallas on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line.
Okay, what does Dallas want to talk about?
Dallas was talking about how he's not going to sleep on the Titans necessarily this weekend.
So, Dallas, you're saying don't sleep on Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, huh?
Well, yeah. Primarily, I wanted to compliment you on your initial analysis. It's better, from what I've heard in the last 10 minutes, than anything I heard on Salt Lake Radio yesterday.
Well, thank you, Dallas.
So there's that. So now that I've sucked up to you enough.
Good job, Dallas. Well done, sir. Well played.
Yeah, I'm a professional. Andrew Beaton writes on the football beat for the Wall Street Journal, and he made a pretty strong case that the Titans are finally healthy. You know, they've really been obliterated. And they also have a very good record in first round. Their average point differential in first-round playoff games is 20.5 points. So I loaded up on them in Nevada because I'm driving literally back to Colorado now.
Okay, very good. So putting some money on the Titans.
You seem to think that the Titans are not really a dark horse. I mean, they're the one seed in the – but, you know, they struggled. I mean, they lost to the Jets. That's – you know, and my insight last week on the Niners was – I knew they would. I bet fairly heavily on them because I had seen what Denver, a lousy team, did to the Cowboys with a stout running game, and I thought the Niners could do the same thing, and they did.
Yeah, I agree with getting Derrick Henry back, because that's the key, is getting Henry back. And we don't know exactly how much he's going to play coming up Sunday. He says he feels great. I don't think it takes a whole lot of time for him to get himself back into the swing of things. And with the way Foreman's played it, it does take some pressure off how much you have to use Derrick Henry. If you're Mike Vrabel, it's now a real luxury for him to have Derrick Henry back. I know Julio Jones saying, look, don't fall asleep on our passing game. We're going to make some big plays against that Bengals secondary coming up tomorrow. I guess when I talk about the Titans, I just feel like people overlook them because they don't. Tannehill's not the sexy guy at quarterback that flashes with big plays all the time. He's been able to kind of have a renaissance as the Titans quarterback after the time in Miami and the failed experiment there. And give the Broncos credit for opening the door for him to that game a couple of years ago where Mariota got benched for Tannehill to take over. They're solid. They're not spectacular. Like the Niners, they're solid. They're not spectacular. And we overlook teams like that because we love the flashy quarterback play and the big play wide receivers and all those kind of things, Dallas. And neither one of those teams, although they have outstanding talent, they aren't like the rest of these teams we've been talking about. And so people kind of fall asleep on them. And we'll have our picks coming up here in a little bit, and I don't want to divulge too much until we do our picks. But as much as I like Cincinnati, and I think, boy, that's a franchise now heading in the right direction, don't ignore what Tennessee now has with Derrick Henry back in Mike Vrabel's toolbox. So it'll be a fun one tomorrow for sure. Hey, Dallas, I appreciate the kind words, sir. Check is in the mail, by the way, on those kind words. Have a safe drive back. It's snowing like heck here in the valley. So take care, and thanks for listening to the program.
Bye now.
All right, take care. All right, Dallas with some nice comments today. Appreciate that. All right, so.
As you were saying.
I want to get to the Fruita Monument Hall of Fame first. And so six individuals voted on by the committee that will go in. And that'll be February 4th during halftime of the Fruita Monument boys basketball game against Central. And Bart Bortles, that's a name that I heard growing up as a kid. Outstanding multi-sport athlete at Fruita Monument. football and baseball. He went on to play at the University of Colorado on the gridiron. Was a starter there.
Wow.
1 year at guard. So Bart Bortles, he will go in. John Coles, classmate of mine, football teammate of mine, going back to, gosh, ninth grade. I've known John Coles for a very, very long time. He won the 1983 155-pound state wrestling title, helped Fruita take second in 3A as a team in 83, and then won a state title in 1982. He took fourth that year. So John, well-deserved all-conference offensive lineman as well when we were seniors. Also, Dan Miller, who will go in. Coach Miller helped to really put together the weight room at Fruita Monument High School, all the conditioning programs that athletes used on both the boys and girls side. Dan Miller was instrumental in really imparting the need for weightlifting for all athletes, tailored to what they do. And the weight room is named after him, by the way. So Coach Miller, getting on me many a times in the weight room. Come on, Davis, don't be a slacker.
Come on, man.
Let's get after it. So he'll go in. My cousin Don Paris, the late Don Paris, who my cousin Rich, they were tremendous athletes at then Fruita High School back in the day. Don was a multi-sport athlete from 1961 to 1965. He was an honorable mention All-America high school football player. Got a scholarship to the University of Colorado. Had injuries that kept him from playing more than one season, but had a very successful career in the title industry here in town. Also got drafted by the old Colt 45s, the Houston Astros, as a prep baseball player. But I wish Don was going to be there on February 4th, because he would have just soaked it up and would have loved being around, you know, a former classmate and Bart Bortles and folks like that. Also, Lanny Paulson will go into the Hall of Fame as well. Won the 1979 3A 155-pound state wrestling title before going to wrestle at Utah and Northern Colorado. Lanny was a Division I Freshman of the Year, All-America Freshman of the Year at Utah before going on to, I think, a third-place finish nationally at Northern Colorado in the D2 ranks.
Wow.
Used to play softball, Lanny Paulson. Super good guy. Incredible athlete as well. And then track and field coach Phil Wortman, who coached the Wildcats from 1978 to 2005, producing 9 state champions. But I think his greatest accomplishment was as my driver's ed teacher. God bless you, Coach Phil. Because I don't know how you managed when we used to have driver's ed in the high schools here locally. I don't know how he did it. Because I think I would have been terrified to get in the car with any of us. But he was also my track coach as well. And
so you knew what to expect, sort of.
And Phil, back when he went to the University of Iowa, Big Ten pole vault champion.
Wow.
And I believe still a Big Ten record holder, I believe. But we're going to plan on getting some of these folks on the program, or folks that know them and will represent them. I know Bart Bortles has not been in the best of health, and so we'll have to see how we're going to address that. But we're hoping to get some of these folks on over the next couple of weeks before the ceremony on February 4th during halftime of the Fruita Monument boys basketball game against Central. But congratulations to all these deserving individuals and all the folks that got nominated. There were some really, really big names in Fruita athletic history that, unfortunately, we just couldn't put everybody in.
Right.
And they've also been, we've been putting teams in as well over the course of the years with the Hall of Fame. But congratulations to all those guys for going into the Fruita Monument Hall of Fame.
Yes.
So that's once again coming up February 4th. All right, 9:24, we'll take a break. We'll have our picks coming up, and we'll have the Pope joining us as well. That'll be coming up in just a few minutes. Did we ever get a winner, by the way, for Where in the World is Tyler Franzen?
No, and it's my fault, because I botched the clue a little bit for what I was looking for.
Okay.
I realized I omitted something very crucial, because, you know, everyone guessed fairly close, but not quite. So, one more time for Fat Tire, text in your answer, 970-242-1340. The wisdom of the Oracle told me to check out this arena. What I found was a building. A nice building, didn't really make a splash in the hearts of fans when it was built a couple years ago, but hey, what can you do?
All right, first correct answer wins a case of Fat Tire. Text in right now, Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line 970-242-1340.
I'm a big sports addict.
I like sports.
Sports.
Sports. This is the Jim Davis Show on the team. 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction. 102.1 FM, Delta Montrose.
Oh, you didn't play some meatloaf.
Well, I couldn't.
We could next break. If you want to, we could next break.
I was trying to find stuff, and I wasn't. I'll be honest. I wasn't really happy with the stuff I was looking at, and so I was like, I'll just hit a random bumper on the
paradise
thing.
Paradise by the dashboard lights. It's not going to work. You don't think
I was. That one was close. I think that one might be the one I end up going with. But yeah, it was.
Well, there's what? There's just that and. The objects one, in the rearview mirror. I mean, other than that, I can't think of... Those are like the two biggest hits he had, right?
And then there was the one that Celine Dion did the cover of, and I don't know.
Oh.
Well, we will find something, I'm sure. But
remember there was a story when he was his daughter's softball coach?
Oh.
Yeah, Meatloaf was like his daughter's youth softball coach years ago. Long, long time ago.
Huh.
If you have not heard Meatloaf, the singer... passing away at the age of 74. So, we're going to happen in, it's going to be in threes because that's normally what. So, who else do we have?
Well, it was.
Do we have somebody else here recently? That,
it was Betty White, Sidney Poitier, and Meatloaf.
Yeah. But they were both, what, week before last, right?
I think so, yeah.
Doesn't have to be closer. I don't know.
Fashion designer, but I don't know.
All right, so it's time for Pigskin Picks.
Yes.
And here he is in a puff of smoke, tooling around in the snow, perhaps in his Pope mobile, or maybe back at the Pope headquarters, the Pope World headquarters. Petey Pope. Good morning, Petey.
Vatican City.
Hey man, you can't go wrong with Billy Joel "Uptown Girl." That's a classic, man.
It was just
come on now.
It was just a random song. I love the song. It was just random off the button bar here. So
that's some good stuff, man. That's good stuff.
Well, I didn't get a chance to go to our Christmas party. My wife's company's party was the same night, but apparently, Cake, Petey, busted out the piano. Regaled our colleagues with some fine didn't do piano, man, which I'm
no
part of me's disappointed, part of me's proud of you that you didn't go for the obvious, you know, gonna do piano, man, sing me a song,
piano man.
That's good.
See, if I would have been there, I might have had a few too many and I might have joined you in song if you did that. I might have done that. Which is probably.
Oh my goodness! You guys are sounding like Bill Murray, man. That's what I'm talking about.
All right. So, how did things go last week with our NBC Grand Randos and the picks last week?
For us, we did very well collectively. We all went 5-1. So
yes.
It's still about the same. Jim in first, and then Rio and Petey tied for second, respectively. As far as our NBC Grand Rando tournament, we had our winners last week were Ron, Tom, Tracy, Libby, Max beat JJ, which I'm sure JJ was a little sad about.
He'll be protesting the results. You know he will.
He will.
He will. He'll try to go to court. He'll try to. He'll try to make something happen there. I'm sure.
Yeah. And then rounding out the NBC Grand Rando winners, Nate, Chris, and Ed. All win last week. So for the divisional round, our matchups this week, Ron is facing Tom. The two women in this tournament are going head-to-head, Tracy versus Libby. Max and Nate are going head-to-head, and Chris and Ed are in the Thunderdome up against each other. So it should be good. And I've gotten picks from most everyone except for Ron and Ed. So
okay. And so, who had the best record last week of the randos?
Amongst the randos, Tom went 6-0, and Max went 6-0.
Sheldon went 6-0.
He did, and Carmen, who he was going up against, went 5-1. So it was close. It was very close.
Hey, that's good.
Wow, and I was pulling for Carmen. I really was to take down Sheldon.
I know,
because he was cocky. He had a cocky attitude going into it.
He was,
but you know, kind of like Joe Burrow, he backed it up. He backed up. What he was laying out there. Well, for Tom, since he went 6-0 and the rest of us and went 5-1.
And Max.
And Max.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women. That is good.
All right, so here we go. It's time for our pigskin picks.
Welcome to another edition of Thunderdome.
All right. NFL divisional round Saturday. We start all of the games, by the way, you can hear on the Team Sports Network. Bengals at the Titans. When I was compiling these picks, the favorites were the Titans at -3.5. Rio is taking the road Bengals in this one. Petey, what say you?
I want Joe Burrow out of the tournament for running up the score on my Ravens. So anytime Cincinnati can get beat out, I am for it because we owe them next year. But anyway, I am going to go for the Tennessee Titans, and I want my man, that running back, Mr. Henry, the bad man, to have a good game. Titans.
I love Joe Burrow. I really do. But losing...
I love him.
I absolutely love him. And if they could have only put up maybe 14 more points on you guys, that would have been a perfect day. Just 14 more.
Yeah, right.
Just, yeah, I love you, man. I'm just kidding. But I do love Joe Burrow. But I love Tennessee at home, getting Derrick Henry back, not having Okejobi up front on the defensive front. They've got some issues there in terms of stopping the run, some injuries on that defensive front for Cincinnati. Give me some Derrick Henry. Give me some Titans to take down the upstart Bengals.
Ooh, all right.
Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans.
Remember them Titans. Next, for Saturday's slate, the San Francisco 49ers at the Green Bay Packers. Packers, when I was putting this together, 5.5-point favorites. But bear in mind, Aaron Rodgers is 0-3 against San Francisco in the playoffs. Will that trend continue, or will Green Bay take the victor? Rio's taking the pack in this one. Petey, what say you?
It's going to be cold in Green Bay, and San Francisco's got to come from Cali to the cold in Green Bay. That will mess with their heads. Plus, Aaron Rodgers is just doing it, man. He's just doing it. So I'm going to go with the Pack, man. Go Pack, go.
I think Niners play them tough, but I like the Packers at home in this one. Even with the history being what it is, with Rodgers and the 0-3 against the Niners and his numbers not being great after a bye, I like the Packers at home in this one.
I've also heard it's going to be like -30 wind chill. It's going to be really cold there. So
running behind the blocking of massive Jethro Pugh. No, blocking massive Jethro Pugh.
There you go. All right. For Sunday, the Los Angeles Rams in Tampa Bay to take on Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Tampa, a 3-point favorite at home, but Rio is taking the Rams in this one. Petey, what say you?
This is going to be a close game, man. I think this is probably the most competitive game of all the ones that are scheduled. I think the Rams show up, but Brady's got what, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20 rings? So I'm going to go with Brady and the Buccaneers.
I'm concerned about the offensive line injuries for Tampa Bay. I really am. With Wirfs, Jensen, Rams, they've hit their stride. They've got the really good run-pass balance. They're not expecting Stafford to carry this football team. He doesn't need to. The Vonster is playing vintage Von Miller football right now. Aaron Donald, if that offensive line doesn't have Jensen and Wirfs, that's going to be a problem. All the injured running backs for Tampa Bay. I mean, think about those things. I go, this is where Tom Brady,
this is where he thrives,
does his thing. I just think that's a lot to overcome. And I like the Rams in this one.
All right.
There's part of me who wants to say, man, this is the kind of game,
right,
that the Tom Brady just
thrives.
Just gets to, slobbering over because he loves this. He loves when people don't think they have a chance. I just think there's a lot to overcome here.
And look, LA is playing like they want to win a Super Bowl. So, yeah, I kind of agree with
you. If Tampa Bay didn't have Jensen and Wirfs, if they were healthy, at least Fournette healthy, I would go with Tampa Bay in this one, but I like the Rams for all those reasons I mentioned.
All right. Last but not least, this is probably your best quarterback duel At least I think so. Josh Allen.
You're right about that, yeah.
Josh Allen and the Bills in Arrowhead to take on Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs. Rio is taking KC. Petey, what say you?
Hey, man, I'm going to go with the Bills, dude. I just think in this one, the Bills have just got something special going on. And Buffalo Mark, I'm in your corner, dog, so I'm going to go with the Bills.
I got to do the same here for Buffalo Mark, for Paul Mignani, our former colleague, for Beetleman. Check out the Davis and Beetle podcast at theteam1340.com. We talk a lot. He's trying to like get me to wear Bills gear. I'm like, no, I'm not going to wear Bills gear. No. Will I root for them?
No, don't do that.
Yes. Will I root for them? Yes. Am I going to wear their stuff? No. And because I've always viewed the Buffalo Bills as the Broncos' cousin. We have a lot of things, Super Bowl futility from the past, things like that in common. And I always love Jim Kelly. But I like Allen. I like the Bills in this one. I think this team is playing at... They put together, I think, the roster that's capable of beating Kansas City. And we saw them do it during the regular season. I just think Josh Allen's really tough to shut down. And I just like the Bills in this one.
All right. That's our picks for this week. Good luck, gentlemen.
All right, Petey. Drive safe if you have to drive around today, okay?
Yeah, I'm out here on the road, man, doing my thing.
Okay, look, we know the job you've done with the district and solving a variety of problems. Can you find a way to help them with the bleacher situation over at Saplesio? Do you have some magic you can work on that?
What's going on with that?
Well, the crane fell into it yesterday, and it wiped out
all the structural steel.
Yeah, it fell into it and wiped out all the steel.
No one got hurt, but...
That was the best possible thing, but... Yeah, maybe you can...
That's the best thing. Nobody got hurt. That's the best thing.
Well, Pope,
you can
maybe,
always fix stuff.
Well, Pope, maybe you can go over there and give it a blessing of some kind. And
there you go.
So it gets ready for Juco all right. time. Okay?
I'll go over there and try to give a health and safety comment over there.
they need all the help they can get, I'm sure.
Hey, guys, enjoy your weekend, man. Have a good one.
You too, Petey. Take care. All right. There he goes. Right. Disappears in a puff of smoke. The Pope. Out doing his thing. Yeah, that's going to be a real challenge.
Yeah.
I think in a normal year, that happening wouldn't be great.
Probably not.
But with supply chain problems, steel at a premium right now, building materials at a premium.
Yeah.
Getting it done is going to be tough, and like Bruce Hill said, it's, you know, nobody's saying it can't be done. But nobody's being overly optimistic, though, that they're going to have it done by May 9th. So it's, just a really tough situation where, you know, like I said, wiped out all those left field seats that run along the left field line, that the structural steel for those new seats over there. All right, 9:41. Jim along with Cake today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Let's see, I want to get to this very quickly before we get to this day in sports history, that when Mark Johnson was with us yesterday, we've talked about all the number of Buffs players that have transferred.
Right.
They've hit the transfer portal. I think it's like, no, 20-some. And I thought he made a great point yesterday, that where the Brendan Rices, the Christian Gonzalez's, guys that are all Pac-12 caliber players.
Right.
When you lose those guys, that hurts.
It does.
But he said if you look, and he was not trying to be mean because that's not Mark Johnson.
No.
But when you look at some of the guys that are hitting the portal from the Buffs, you're not really losing a lot there. Because he said he's had a lot of Buffs fans emailing him, communicating with on social media, losing their minds that all these guys are transferring. And he says, well, some of these guys like Rice and Gonzalez, it hurts.
It does.
Those are starters. Those are guys that are impact players for you. Don't get sucked in. Well, 20-some players have transferred. And what are they going to do? Well, guess what? They're going to do what other schools are doing. They're going to dip into the transfer portal and bring their own guys in. And like Mark said, guys that they might be bringing in could be a lot better than the guys that they're losing. For example, Alabama offensive lineman Tommy Brown.
I was going to say, you bring in a Bama kid, you bring in a Nick Saban product.
He's going to transfer to Colorado. He's a former top 100 football prospect back in 2018. played 3 seasons at Alabama, started 1 game at right guard, and appeared in 10 games this past season. So, in communicating with our resident Alabama expert, Bamalo Mark, that he had some good things to say about the kid. Said, look, he's going to be an upgrade on the Buffs' offensive line.
And it's probably a case of when he's at Bama, it's probably what a lot of those kids go through, which is they're, you know, top 100 4-star, 5-star recruits at a high school that are going up against other top 100 4- right. or 5-star recruits. And yeah. just, it's, you know, you can only have 11 guys on the field at one time.
Yeah, Mark said he played at Mater Dei. He was the number 4 guard prospect in the country coming out of high school. Big guy. Could play anywhere up front. Says he's a solid ad. Says that, look, if you're a Buffs fan, you're going to be pleased with what you're getting in Tommy Brown. And so you're going to get some guys like that that are going to be better than what you had.
Right.
And people just got to stop freaking out about, oh, look at it. They're among D1 programs, they've had the most transfer guys, or they're second, they're third.
Right.
You're going to get some guys back in this deal. And good likelihood they're going to be better than what you've lost. With the exception of Rice and Gonzalez. Those are two pretty substantial losses for Colorado. Yeah. All right, as far as this day in sports history, let's see, on this day, 1953, Dizzy Dean and Al Simmons are elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. The baseball writers pass over Joe DiMaggio in his first year of eligibility.
How? What?
They don't put DiMaggio in, but they put Dizzy Dean and Al Simmons in before him. Wow.
So this is not the first time then that the baseball writers have got, wow.
1969, Roy Campanella and Stan Musial elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Also on this day, 1979, Terry Bradshaw leads Pittsburgh with 4 touchdown passes. They win their 3rd Super Bowl. They beat the Cowboys 35-31, where Bradshaw is the game's MVP, completes 17 of 30 for 318 yards. I remember that was the game where Jackie Smith, longtime Cardinal tight end, who was playing for the Cowboys, really good tight end, wide open in the end zone.
Dropped it.
Drops it. And what would have been a crucial touchdown.
I believe the famous call was, he's got to be the sickest man in the world right now.
And he was.
Yeah.
Also 1990. John McEnroe becomes the first player to be thrown out of the Australian Open. Interesting with what happened with Novak Djokovic here recently, who didn't get the chance to get thrown out. Also on this day, 2007, Lovie Smith becomes the first black head coach to make it to the Super Bowl, taking the Chicago Bears to the Super Bowl, where he faces fellow black head coach Tony Dungy. Manning, Dungy, and the Colts beat Lovie Smith in the Super Bowl that year. And sexy Rexy Grossman was the quarterback for the Bears that year.
That's right.
All right, 9:46. We'll take a break. Garbage time on the way next. Text or call the show, 970-242-1340.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Oh, you did it, didn't you?
Steve's
not going to be happy.
I did.
Meatloaf passing away today at the age of 74.
You mentioned coming in threes, another sad passing. Louis Anderson died.
What? Louis Anderson?
Yeah. And like he just announced that he was undergoing cancer treatment, and he, like an hour ago, he died.
I love the animated show Life with Louie, where it was him as a child, and he did obviously his voice as a kid. He also did his dad's voice.
Right.
I that was great. I love that show. That was much better than any of his stand-up stuff.
68.
And then he was on Baskets, the one with Zach Galifianakis. I believe he play like his mom on it or something. It was some kind of,
I don't remember.
Yeah, I believe he was on that show and got a lot of good reviews. And I saw the piece they did, the Movies That Made Us, on Coming to America, because remember, he worked at the the fast food restaurant that Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall worked in, and he was in the movie, and that was like his first big moment in, you know, and outside of being a stand-up, and he talked about being in that film. So that's losing Meatloaf and Louis Anderson today.
Damn.
All right, 9:51. It's time to flip open the lid and hop in. It's garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
And please drive careful out there. It is very nasty right now.
Yeah.
All right. The NFL has a rule against players using cell phones during games for any reason. T.J. Watt felt he had a reason to break that rule during the Steelers season finale. He was in pursuit of the NFL single season sack record against Baltimore, and there was some doubt of whether or not he'd been credited with sack on the first half of his Week 18 game. And that's why, as Watt admitted on Dan Patrick Weekdays at 1, that the pass rusher simply had a check on his phone at halftime after hearing conflicting information from staff.
Mm.
He said, "I thought I had two sacks, so I checked my phone at halftime, which I never do. Then JJ and my brothers, the group chat was like, they only gave you one, man. You got to go get another."
There you go.
Give him credit. Give TJ credit for acknowledging that I got on the phone. I was checking what was going on with the sack record.
There you go. A couple things. For Where in the World is Tyler Franzen today? And I admit I could have phrased this a little better. Yes, it's the San Francisco Bay Area arena where the Golden State Warriors play. Not the old one, though. I was looking for the new one, the Chase Center. So, unfortunately, we did not get a winner for that one.
Oh, no.
I apologize.
Oh, no. So, what we'll do? We'll just take first person to text in Chase Center.
Thank you.
You win a case of Fat Tire today.
There we go.
970-242-1340.
And then for actual garbage time, and I caught this, I was watching the end of the Avs game last night, and SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt started up, and they were doing the highlights, and ACC women's basketball, a good one, number 3 versus number 4, NC State, Louisville. Louisville was up 14 points going into the fourth quarter, and then surrendered a 17-0 run, and were actually outscored 31-8 to lose in the fourth quarter. Going into last night, teams that were down by 14 points to start the fourth quarter of a game had a win-loss record of 3-1,278. Wow.
Talk about beating the odds, bucking the trend there.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's our show for today. Back with you on Monday. And don't forget, this weekend, you got divisional NFL playoff action. Both days. You're on the Team Sports Network, but maybe you want to get out and you want to watch it with some of your fellow Bills fans or Niners fans or Chiefs fans or whatever. 357 Bar and Grill, 325 Main Street in Palisade, or you can stop by their location in the Peachtree Shopping Center, 357 Reloaded, the perfect place to commiserate with your fellow fans cheering on your favorite team in the divisional round of the playoffs with great beers and drinks along with amazing appetizers like fried pickles, mozzarella sticks, onion rings, Rocky Mountain oysters, the 357 chicken quesadilla as well, or just go right to the sandwiches like the Palisade Pig, the burger with pulled pork on it. They have the patty melt, the habanero burger, club sandwiches, a fish sandwich, a BLT, and entrees like steak dinner as well. And wings are mandatory. Gotta have wings.
Got them.
Particularly during the postseason. And they have everything from the hot buffalo, hot habanero, all the way down to the wussy stuff, which I like, barbecue, teriyaki, and honey mustard. So for the best viewing experience along with Sunday ticket during the regular season, of course, right now, all your favorite NFL teams in the postseason will be on display at 357 Bar and Grill, located in Palisade at 325 Main Street or 357 Reloaded Peachtree Shopping Center in Clifton. Don't forget, tomorrow action starts at 2. Bengals and Titans here on the Team. Mab basketball tonight against Mines. That starts at 5:15 on the Team Sports Network.